Well, church, please find your way back to Luke 12 as we continue on in this teaching session, this sermon that Jesus has been giving his disciples. And we'll continue for quite some time. We're in here for a while, but today we're going to be looking at the part beginning in verse 22, going through verse 34. Verses 22 through verse 34, Luke chapter 12. So this is God's word to us today. It says, beginning in verse 22, it says this, "And he said to his disciples, 'For this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life, as to what you shall eat, or for your body as to what you shall put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, and they have no storeroom nor barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than the birds! Which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to his lifespan? If then you cannot do even a very little thing, why are you anxious about other matters? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, but I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so arrays the grass in the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, O men of little faith? Do not seek what you shall eat and what you shall drink, and do not keep worrying. For all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek. But your Father knows that you need these things. But seek for His kingdom, and these things shall be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions. Give to charity. Make yourselves purses which do not wear out. An unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, praise you for life. Thank you for the gift of life. You have called us into being. We were not, and now we are, because you, your own will, gave us this glorious life to live for you in your glory. Lord, and beyond that, even when we sinned against you, gave us this great, wonderful purpose, we turned and we went our own way, you, out of your great love, sent your Son to restore us to this purpose, to give us life anew through the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, we thank you and praise you for this. Lord, help us to consider life, what it's about today. As we come before your word and you speak to us in this matter, I pray that we all have our hearts ready to receive, and only you can make us able to receive. May you put in my mouth your word and your wisdom and your call, your instructions, your commandments, your encouragements, your reproofs, whatever we need. You speak your word. May you open all our hearts to receive and hear what we need to hear. May we consider you in all your glory and who you really are. May we consider who we are in your presence. May you teach us today, Lord, for our good. You call us away from worry. Oh, how many times do you repeat this in the Scriptures? So it must be a problem. But it must be important that we not. So help us to who are here you today and learn and grow in faith. Grow in the grace of Christ Jesus today. Only you can do this by the power of your Spirit. This is your category. So we pray and ask you to do what only you can do. Help us to be faithful with the word you give us as it's proclaimed and we receive it. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week, again, as we're in the middle of this instruction time with Jesus and his disciples, we saw Jesus speak to us and actually warn us about the danger of greed and covetousness, as he called us to be not be greedy, not be covetousness. And as I spoke about last week in that, I think covetousness, we need to hear that. Covetousness is one of those sins that I don't believe we consider the insidiousness of that sin, the danger of that sin, and the reality of how prevalent it is in our culture. We talked about how our culture promotes it, right? I mean, we live in a very affluent culture, and a big problem of that is how it's always bombarding us with advertisements and marketing designed to cause covetousness. I don't know if you can see that or not, but that's what it is. It causes us to not be content with what we got, but to want what we don't have, right? To go after it. It's covetousness when we're not satisfied with what God gives us. So we can see, I think you can see, hopefully through that our culture could cause that problem. It would be a result of that in that. But as you think about our affluent culture and what it does, what could be a fruit of it, I don't know that we could easily see what next is said, and that is that anxiousness may come from it. We just don't see affluence and then an affluent culture. You'd think that anxiety and worry would be much less in a place of such affluence, right? John MacArthur said, but the reality is we live in one of the most affluent, indulgent, comfortable cultures in the history of man, and yet we are some of the most anxious and worried people in the history of the world. And it's true. Our culture's just full of anxiety and worry. I mean, it's so much, it's just out there. It's not like our culture doesn't know. We try to address it. But in the ways we try to address it, it doesn't seem to be helping. It only seems to be getting worse, not better, right? Anxiety is a real problem. That's why I believe, today's passage today ought to be very relevant to us, right? Because Jesus speaks here about anxiousness and worry. And specifically, he says, don't do it, right? That's why he says, don't do it. That's the easy counselor's words. You like that? Don't do it, right? But that Jesus doesn't leave us there. He gives us, as we go through this passage, he's going to give us many reasons as to why we should not be anxious. Many reasons as to why we should not worry. And again, as I talked about last week, these reasons are also truths. Just think about them. He's given us truth that we often neglect to believe. And if we see these truths, then we can then reject the lie that causes us to be anxious, and then we can walk in peace instead of anxiety, right? So as we go through this, this is a long passage. If we go through it, we'll see six reasons altogether as to why we should not worry. Today, we're only going to get to three. We will go through a good number of them, but we're only going to get through the first half of them, the first three reasons, truths, however you want to look at it, as to why we should not be anxious, why we should not worry. And the first one is simply this, as we get started, and that's this, is that life is about more than these things that we typically are tempted to worry over. Life is more than these things, right? Now, as we begin here, we're going to be looking at verses 22 and 23. As we begin here again, I want to again call your attention back to the reality of what Jesus speaks here. He's not beginning a new address. He is actually continuing, right? As he says here, and he said to his disciples, he's continuing right on with the teaching he's been doing. right? So the teaching he gives here is just a continuation of the thoughts and the truths that we looked at last week. I mean, that's why he says, he begins with what? For this reason. That right there, it's a clue. Oh, this is connected to what we just looked at last week. This flows out of the truths that he just spoke about last week. And they are. And so what did we speak about last week? Greed and covetousness. So there's a connection between greed and covetousness and anxiety and worry, especially over these things that he tells us not to worry about, food and clothing. There's a connection. Again, the thoughts flowing out of it. So you got to stop and think, what's the connection, right? Well, I believe Jesus tells us what it is right off the bat. The connection is, again, anxiety, the temptation to be worried in these kind of things comes from believing the same lie that brings greed and covetousness. And that's believing the lie that our life consists in these things. Remember, we looked at that lie last week. That we are tempted to believe that life, our well-being, our very essence and existence, really comes through the riches of the world, the wealth, the possession, the things of this earth that we desire. We're tempted to believe our life's well-being is in that. And when we do, well, then we're going to be tempted to desire more and more of that. And it looks different and different, you know, different forms of greed. Every form of greed, he said, be warned against it. So it looks in many different ways. That's what happens when we believe that lie. But this is the other end of that lie, the way I look at it. What do I mean? Well, if we believe that lie, what are we going to be tempted to do when we begin to think or consider that we won't even have enough of life's wealth and possessions and riches to even feed us or clothe us? Right? The what ifs begin to come in. Right? What if I don't even have enough to buy food to live on? Right? What if there comes a day? It's always the day, or the time, or the circumstances, right? What if that happens? What will happen to me, right? Well, that can begin to bring torment of the soul when you believe that without those things, I'm ruined. Without those things, that's the end of me. And that's what we can begin to think when we believe life is in those things, right? And so that's why this thought flows, right? Jesus says, don't be anxious over those things. And he goes on and says, why? He says, don't be anxious for your life. Do you see that? When it comes to food and clothing and these things. Why? Because life's more than that. Life's more than food. The body's more than clothing. And this just goes back to the essence of the same truth that we talked about last week when to combat this lie. What we've got to remember is what is life? Is it consist of this physical life? No. We're a soul. We're an eternal soul. So life is knowing God. And he's the source of all life. And knowing God and knowing that the life then transcends this earth and the things of this earth. This is the essence of our well-being, is knowing God. And the fact that we've been made by Him for His purposes. And His purposes are to live for Him and to live for His glory. That's the essence of life. Not do we have food and do we have clothing to live out this physical bios, this life here, which again is not the word He uses. Because life's not those things. Real, true well-being in life, the source of life, is in knowing God and living for Him according to His. That's why He made us. It transcends this earth in this physical world. And if that weren't so, right, why did Jesus come? Did Jesus come to provide food and clothing so that we would have all we'd need for life? What did Jesus come to do? He said, I came to give you what? Life and life what? Abundant. So where's all the food and clothing, right, that he provided? That's not what He provided at all. What did He provide? Forgiveness of sins. So that we might be made right with God again and restored to the very purpose for which we were made. Right? Now we can be reconciled to God. We're not out of the broken relationship with Him. We're not enmity with Him again. We now know God as our Father, and we now can live according to the purpose He made us, which is to live and do His will so that He is seen and He is glorified. But that purpose transcends this world and goes on throughout eternity. That's the essence of life. And boy, if we get a hold of that, we won't be so tempted to go off into anxious and worry about the things that are so much lesser than, which is what He's telling us. Life is not about food and clothing. So don't worry over these things. Because life is so much more. Now, I do want to address for a moment so that we don't go off into misunderstanding, because some may hear this. Oh, well, then I don't ever have to think about food and clothing, right? It's what Jesus is telling me. Just, you know, no, right? This is the misunderstanding of this, and I've heard some people do go off in crazy places like this. Like, okay, then I don't have to worry about it. I will just sit on the couch and wait for God to drop food and clothing and whatever I need, because He's going to take care of it. He says, don't worry about it. No, that's a wrong misunderstanding, right? When He says, don't be anxious and don't worry, He doesn't say don't ever have a thought toward these things. He doesn't say don't ever have a concern over these things. No, what He's talking about is immoderate, improper care and worry, where we begin to lose our peace and be unsettled and be tormented in mind and heart over these things, right? So we do have to think about them, but He tells us how to think about them, right? How do we concern ourselves with food and clothing? Well, He says, 1 Thessalonians 3:10, if a man's not willing to work, he won't what? He won't eat. So He told us, well, go get you a job, right? Go plant and plow. And I'll provide you those things. This is your category. And my category is to take care of the rest. Right, so we do have to think about them, but we don't lose our peace over that, because God's just told us, well, this is how I've ordained this to come to you. You go do it, and I'll take care of the rest. And don't be anxious over whether you're going to have enough, right? That's this call, because life's not about these things. It's not. It's if we can get a hold of that, we're a soul. We have a body that He's given us, but it's temporary, right? This old body, this old life on this earth is going to be gone. It's going to be quicker than we can turn around and blink. But if we know Christ, He's going to give us a new body that transcends all this, and we're going to really know what life's about. It is not about this earth. So we ought not give ourselves to anxiousness and worry over food and clothing and the riches and possessions of this world, because they're all going to burn. They're all going to pass away. Life's not about these things. And I'll just end this point with this. If we can get a hold of this truth, this is the antidote, or one of the antidotes, to wrongful worry and wrongful anxiety in about any category you want to put it, not just over food and clothing. Because this is what we believe. When we're getting anxious over something, we're believing our well-being's in danger. And we're overly concerned over it. And we're not believing the truth that, that's not what life's about. Life's about knowing God. And that comes through knowing Christ and being reconciled in Him. And then my well-being is set, and I don't have to be anxious over these things, right? Now, this is a truth that we have to put in our minds and heart and wash ourselves in, right? Over and over, so that we can bat the lie the enemy wants to just constantly put at us. All right? So why should we not be anxious? Why should we not worry? Well, because life is so much more than these things that we typically worry about. That's number one. Number two, we should not worry, we should not be anxious, because we should be able to see and then therefore trust God as the faithful provider for all creation. Well, I know that's a long one, but we should be able to see and then therefore trust God as a faithful provider for all creation, right? Notice, we'll look at verse 24 and then we'll also look to 27 and 28. Note, as Jesus, beginning in verse 24, continues to call us away from anxiousness and anxiety, wrongful worry, right? As He continues to call us away from it, He tells us to do something. Consider, He says, the ravens. And there's a reason He tells us to consider them, I think. Because generally speaking, is it not true, or am I alone here? On a typical day, I don't consider them. On a typical day, the birds of the air and the animals of the field, well, they do their thing, and I don't consider them. Unless they interfere with me in my life, right? And then when they become whatever pest or whatever, they get in my way, then I consider them. Then there's ravens, that's right. Then I do, but otherwise I don't, right? They're just going and doing their thing. Well, Jesus is saying, stop a minute and consider them. Look and see. And if you do, what will you see? Well, he tells us, they eat quite well. And you know what? They don't even work for it. Like he's told us to work. You don't wait, you don't work, you don't. The ravens don't work for it. They don't plow, they don't plant. They don't sow, they don't reap. Yet God just provides them food. And how often does he do it? Every day. I think that's why he uses ravens, especially here, as he goes on to say, they don't store up food. You know, some animals will store it. He's given them a mind to do that, like squirrels or whatever, you know, through the ravens don't store up food. They get up that day, you know, I suppose they sleep like other creatures, and they get up and there's food. And why is there food? Because God, the one who created them and gave them a purpose in this creation, is faithful to sustain their life as long as he wants it to be sustained by giving them food every single day. And so Jesus is saying, if you'll stop and consider and see that, then perhaps you'll be able to consider and trust that, well, God will do the same thing for me. If he's faithful to provide for the birds of the air and the ravens, surely he'll provide for me when I need it. And if we consider what he tells us to consider even more than where our faith and trust in that should increase, why? Well, he tells us, are you not of much more value than the birds? And are we not? We should know this. Now, if you see, boy, the schemes of the evil one are so great. You know, what's one of the byproducts of evolutionary thought? You are of no more value than any other animal on the face of the earth. And you see the effects of it in our world. But that's not the truth. The truth is you've not evolved from amoeba or whatever you think that they teach. You were created by God and given a purpose that transcends this life in order to bring him glory, and you're at the top of that scheme. The birds were created for that purpose, but they weren't created in the image of God, were they? You alone were created in the image of God to be the kind of the crowning piece of his creation, right? To bring him glory. And so see your value. Don't get false pride or whatever. You don't bring value to the table. It's not you. It's God gives you value that you have, but man, what value he gives you. And as that creature that he's given so much value, right? Way more than the birds, will he not be faithful to feed you? Much more than he's been so faithful to feed the birds if you watch them. Just sit back and consider, and you look at all creation. See, God's made it all, right, for his purposes. Does he not take care of every part of it? Every single day, for ages and ages he's done this. If we could just sit back and get a hold of that, and just consider that, I think of course, this is what God does. He's the faithful provider. Therefore, he's going to provide for me because, I mean, after all, he made me in his image for these great purposes. Not to mention that if we know Jesus, I'm one of his, right? I'm the apple of his eye. So if he loves me so much, brother read the scripture, if he loves me so much, he gave Jesus to die for my soul, will he not surely give me all things? Will he surely not give me a piece of bread if I need it? Will he surely not give me a shirt on my back if I need it? My goodness, if he gave me Jesus, these are nothing. So we could just consider these things. And this means the same thing. If you look in 27, 28, well, he talks about them too, right? He said, consider the grass of the field. How is it adorned? He often adorns these beautiful pasture fields of grass with all these flowers. And it's so beautiful. He says, I'm telling you, Solomon in all his glory wasn't dressed this beautiful. Right? And he said, who did that? God did that. And does he do how? He does it all the time. And he says, consider again, it's from the lesser to the greater. How valuable is grass in the economy of creation? Well, it's not very valuable, is it? It's here today and tomorrow, it's thrown in the stove and burned. And he's talking about, he used to use it for fuel in furnaces. That's how valuable grass is. So how much more valuable are you? Will he not give you clothing? He's just stand back and consider all these things. And that's the call, brothers and sisters. If we'll just look back and see what God does, we will see his faithfulness to provide, and we then can begin to trust him for our own provision and not worry. Right? Remember, wrongful worry doesn't mean you don't go out and work so you can eat. But you don't worry. You trust. I want to add one here. Again, going back to seeing God's faithfulness. And you think about the value from lesser to the greater. I mean, Jesus is he's his begotten son. He's the beloved. So then all those who are in Christ are the beloved. How much does he love his people? Will he, if he loves his people, will he not give you these little things in comparison to what he's given you? And if you'll just look to the scriptures, you'll see it. And I think one of the greatest examples of this is the Israelites in the wilderness. He saved them out of Egypt, right? A picture of salvation. They could not redeem themselves. He went in with a mighty right arm and he freed them with great power. But then he brought them out in the wilderness and they're going, what's going on? And I get it. But why? Because they're out in the desert. What is in the desert? Nothing, right? Sand, rocks, heat, snakes. Not a lot of food, not a lot of water. No clothing. And so they began to get anxious, I believe, and worried to the point that they're grumbling, complaining, they're testing God, right? But what did God do for them to show them this reality that I'm talking about here? It looked like they were in a place where God could not provide for them. And yet, what did God do and show for them and for us? All things were written for our benefit. These things were written for our benefit to see there is not a place or circumstance in this world that God cannot and will not provide for his people. Because what did he do? Did he feed them? He dropped manna right out of heaven. How often did he do it? Every single day. He brought water out of a rock. There's no water here in the desert. God says, I will provide for you. What was true about their clothing and their sandals? You remember? He didn't drop clothes out of heaven. He just caused the clothes they had to last for 40 years. And he pointed that out at the end of it. He said, did your clothes wear out? No, that was me. That's what he's saying. That's why God is your provision. And I want you to see that. And if God's your provision, there is no circumstance in which you won't be provided for. If he wants you to be provided for, and as the apple of his eye, he wants you to be provided for as long as you're going to live. So trust him. Trust him. See and know him. Last one. Third reason we should not be anxious or worry. Worry accomplishes absolutely nothing. You'd think we'd have that figured out by now. And I say we. So Jesus says, doesn't he, in verses 25-26. He asks the question, how many of you all can increase, how is it he says it here? How many of you can add a single cubit to his lifespan by worrying? This word translated here is literally cubit, which is a measurement of about 18 inches. Sounds a little odd, but Jesus here is telling us that he measures life in length. So how many can add a little bit of length to your lifespan? The newer versions, new NASB, the ESV, different ones, they translate that word, as probably says in your Bible, hour. I think that's a good translation. They're just capturing the essence of what Jesus is saying the way that we get it. Right. What is Jesus at? He's just asking, how many can increase the length of your life or the time of your life one little bit? And the question, and by worrying. And the answer is nobody can, right? Worry won't do that. You can't increase the amount of your life 1 hour, not 1 minute, not 1 second. Worry will not bring length to your life. And we know this up here. But when we are anxious over it, we're revealing that we don't really know it. Why is it that worry will not accomplish the increase of your life one little bit? Why is that? That's because that's not your category, folks. Whose hand is the length and time of your life in? We know this, right? Knowledge. It's God's. He's ordained from before the foundation of the world the length of your life. Did you know that? And He is the one who rules and reigns with all power, sovereignly so, and there's no one that can touch His power or keep Him from doing what He is ordained to do. Therefore, if He's ordained the length of my life from a long time ago, then there is nothing that can stop my life short of the day He's ordained it to, right? But that also means there is nothing I can do to prolong it past that time. I can't. But we worry, right? If God has ordained the time, it's appointed for man once to die, and then the judgment. Did you know it's appointed for me too to die? It's also appointed for me when to die. I can't change that. God's got that fixed. Well, what's the point Jesus is making here? Well, if you can't accomplish that by worrying, then why are you worrying over food and clothing? Because why? What are you going to accomplish? The answer is the same. You're not going to accomplish anything. Are you, by worry and by anxiety, going to somehow provide provision for yourself in a time when you would not have it otherwise? We know this intelligently, right? But we still do it. Why? Because it's connected. We are jumping into a category that's not ours, right? We do have a part. God says, if you don't work, you don't eat. Okay, I do that, and then I give the rest to God, right? But we're not doing that. If God has ordained my life and it's going to go on so many days, what is the reason I will wake up every morning of every day He's ordained for me? What's the reason for that? God has given me breath for the body for that day. He's animated my body. That it's not in me. It's in Him. And I give thanks for another day that You've given me, Lord. Well, if He's done that, then is He not going to see fit to give you the food and the clothing and whatever provision you need to live that day out He's given you breath for? Absolutely. Of course He is. That's His category. He's the provider. Right? But what's happening when I worry over those things is I'm attempting to take on a part that is not mine. I can't produce provision out of nothing. I can't worry provision into existence, right? I can do what God's told me to do, and then I can put all that care on Him. It was Calvin who said this. He said, we act like God's randomly thrown us to the earth, and now we've got to go take care of ourselves somehow. And Jesus gives us these words to restrain the madness, because we are somehow leaping beyond our bounds and beyond our limits of human ability. Humans do not have the ability to create provision, but yet we try when it's what we're attempting to do. We don't even realize it when we're worrying and anxious over these things, right? It's the same thing as trying to provide extra life. And so the call is to be restrained in the madness, right? And to believe that, what does worry accomplish? Absolutely nothing. Okay, why is that true? Well, because that's not my category. You know what I mean by that when I say that's not my job? That's not in my ability. Whose is that? Well, that's God's. Well, then what do? I trust Him. And what do I do with this care, this temptation? Oh, I cast it on Him. Because He's the one. I go and pray. Faith looks like praying. If He's really the one that has all this power, then He's the one I go and ask. Lord, I'm going to need provision today. Will You give it? Remember how Jesus taught us to pray? Give us this day our daily bread. Faith looks like praying and trusting and not worrying. That's what Jesus is calling us to do here. Isn't it much more peaceful in life not when you're not worrying? Is it just me? You know, it's like the counselor, well, you know, what's your problem? Well, I'm anxious. Well, do you like that? You know, well, stop it. That doesn't work. But the reality, it's not good. And so Jesus is telling us how to overcome it. It's through these truths, right? Through these truths, these reasons, if we can get a hold of them and actually believe them, they will help us to not worry, right? And instead, we'll be people of prayer. I've used this before. Do you remember? He's not here among us yet. Hopefully, he'll be back soon. But Doyle, what's his quote? Why pray when you can worry? Now, he says that in fun, right? But doesn't it reveal the reality of a silliness that what we do? It reveals that worry accomplishes nothing, right? Oh, but prayer is what faith does. So, brothers and sisters, may we be a people, not of worry, but of trusting prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are the great provider. You're the great life giver. You're the source of all of it. May we really believe that. May we truly trust you for your category, your column, your power, your ability. And we just stick to ours that you've given us. And it's very small what you've called us to do. And the rest you call us just to trust you. So help us to live in faith and in trust and cast all this anxiety that we are tempted to have, every single one of us, in some different way. May we heed your words here and not be anxious, but to trust. And may we be people of prayer as we ask you for what we need. And then we cast our cares there too, going, you'll give us exactly what we need. We can trust you for that. May we live that way, Lord. So may you open our hearts and minds today to be able to receive what we need to receive here, so that we will be people who, you know, we'll appear as lights in the midst of a perverse and crooked generation, because that won't look normal in this world, because this world's full of anxiousness, and it just gets worse. So, Lord, may we be people of peace in the midst of all that, that in a way that will bring you glory. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.